Yeah, I don't. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Lisa Moore, and I am delighted to introduce this session, which is teaching critical. Teaching critical history of public health and health policy. I did know what session it is. It's just my brain is not catching up with the hour yet. So I'm delighted that you could all make it at this hour. I'm going to start out by making a few announcements and then introduce the speakers, give a few introductory remarks, and then most of the time that for this session, not most of the time, but we'll have a substantial period at the end that is dedicated to conversation about this. One of the things that I think has been special about this session is that we like to have dialogue with the people who are attending the session. So please, as people say things that seem relevant to you, you know, take notes, and hopefully we can have a spirited discussion at the end of this with plenty of time to do that. Also, just for your information, we're going to make syllabi, if some of our speakers discuss syllabi, we will be making them available on the 1848 website. You know, in addition, if any of you have syllabi that you'd like to contribute that would pertain to this topic, you know, we would love to make those available to people as well. And on that note, if you aren't a member of 1848, if you aren't on the listserv, we will be passing around sign-ups, and you're very welcome to sign up if you like. And then you will be put on our listserv so that you can get, you know, wonderful 1848 announcements and know where the syllabi are and all that kind of good stuff. So, again, please sign up if you want to. My other announcement is that the spirit of 1848 has two more things happening today. One that you're all, you know, very welcome to attend is the student poster session, which will be happening this afternoon from 12:30 to 2. If you look on the board, it tells you where it is. It's here in the convention center. Also, we have the business meeting, which is taking place from 6:30 to 8 tonight. And for any of you that want to get involved further in the programming of the Spirit of 1848, you know, our planning for next year, I really want to welcome you to come to that because we really like to get as much participation as we can from people that are interested in these kind of issues. So, you know, please, if you want to be a planner and influence what our programming looks like next year, please come to that. Okay, just briefly, I just want to say some thoughts about this session because I'm very excited about this session. I think it's fair to say that the way that public health is conventionally taught, and when I say public health, I mean both in university, in community, in all kinds of settings, the way that we often think about public health and the way it's often taught is with an absence of history. Kind of the idea of public health is how we practice, not that we look backwards and think critically and understand these things in a critical way. And that's a real pity. So that's why it's a pleasure that we could actually get to talk about how people are teaching history today. It's almost become cliched at this point that, you know, he or she who does not learn history is condemned to repeat it. I think that we've certainly seen that in public health as well as in other sectors of our society. But I would add to that that I think understanding critical history is a way of motivating people to avoid repeating the negative aspects of history. What I mean by that is that when history is taught, discussed, and understood in a critical manner, it allows us to all see ourselves as historical actors. And that, as in fact, we are creating history by what we do, what we don't do in the present. You know, we are the historical actors of the future. And it allows us to understand that that history was in fact made by more than just the great men that we see in the history books, but by the masses and masses, the many, many people, the untold people who made it possible for the great men and the great women to become, you know, the people that they're perceived to be, and that we are all part of history. So I personally find the study of history and the teaching of history to be something that's immensely invigorating for the present. And I think that public health continues to be invigorated and made accountable by history. So for that reason, I'm extremely delighted to introduce these speakers and let them talk, as opposed to me going on about what I think about teaching history. Since I've never taught it, I'm going to let the experts tell you about what it is to teach history. Just briefly, I'll tell you who our speakers are, and if they want to say more about themselves, they're welcome to do that. Our first speaker is Manon Perry from the National Library of Medicine, and she's going to be speaking about the role for exhibitions. The second speaker is Sherry Spence, who's an independent consultant, and she's going to be speaking about literacy and access to information and social power, 1848 and 2008. The third speaker, John Alaya, who's from San Francisco State University, will be speaking about the necessity of teaching the history of public health from a critical perspective. And finally, Anne Emanuel Byrne from the University of Toronto will be speaking about the University of Toronto's History of International Health course. So without any more ado,